You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
Take it all in. Everything that's happened. Let this moment, your generation is going to do things people can't even fathom.
Our mission is to find life in the far reaches of our solar system.
The greatest discovery in human history.
We can't blow this.
My administration will put Earth back in charge. We simply cannot keep funneling money to Mars.
We have to be self-sufficient, no longer relying on shipments and supplies from Earth. Truly in control of our own destiny.
We will not back down.
Sam!
It's high time we bring Mars back under control.
Time is running out, and they're going to destroy any hope of a tomorrow up here.
Change happens when a few determined individuals make it happen.
We need to take matters into our own hands.
Mars is ours!
Well, now we're cooking with gas.
You can't lose your humanity.
We're fighting for our humanity.
Without allies, without aid, without your home planet, let's see how long you can survive.
At a certain point, you have to ask yourself, what do I want to do with the time that I have left?
Yes, and hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion, and I am joined by Jill and Quinny and everyone on the chat. And hello, we are finally back, and it's almost the end of April.
We are back.
We're flying in outer space. We're out past the rings of Saturn. No, we're actually on Mars.
Yeah, we're kind of on Mars.
Which ring are you going past, Quinny?
The One Ring.
The One Ring. Oh, God. It's already started.
Not the ring of Uranus. Oh, wait, it doesn't have any.
No.
Shut up.
If you like it, put a ring of Uranus on it. Hang on, no.
No.
Shut up. We're just going to get into whether or not Pluto is still a planet.
Oh. You're going to start there. Is it an exoplanet? Is it some kind of magical moon?
A dwarf planet?
Yeah, dwarf planet. I mean, we're not allowed to call them that anymore. It's a little person planet.
Well, now we've got a mini moon, apparently. There's like an asteroid that's like joining the party and
become
a satellite. So.
And there's Planet X out there somewhere too that operates in the exact opposite of it's on the opposite side of the sun, so we can never see it.
Look at all of these fun things that we're learning about space.
So much space. Yes.
You should all join us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Australian Research and Space Exploration Agency.
I'm sold. I'm there.
Excellent.
I'm very excited to get onto an ass rocket and be blasted.
As opposed to the dick rockets that already went to space.
Exactly. Yeah.
It better be called, those boosters better be called ass blasters.
I tell you, the aerodynamics are not in its favor, though.
No,
being launched into space.
Yes. Hello, Adsky. I see that you've joined in at a great time.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just the moment of talking about that. So tonight, whatever it is, we have a bunch of things that we're going to be talking about. It is our April TV roundup. And
I don't have a whip crack. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. I am the whip crack.
It has been a very trying week. It has been a trying season for Bird Person. But I do not have everything up, and I'm just happy that we're here. Like, you know, we're back now. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Yes. Okay. At the moment, all of our housing issues have sorted themselves.
Yes, I appreciate your patience last week. We needed to take a break, but I have moved home.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. That is great. Happy about that, Jill. Fantastic.
Dion, how's your studio?
Still fucked. We don't have to talk about how fucked this stuff is, but that's okay because, you know, it's all good. But it worked out well because in that cosmic and lovely sense, we get to do the next show, which is the one that we're doing, which is going to be about Maul Shadow Lord on the 5th of May.
Hey!
It will be Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Fifth.
Well, Revenge of the Fifth, this is the
seventh,
the father, the son, the holy Sheev.
Remember Stephen.
Yes, remember Sheevan. Yeah, and thank
Nobody
you.
Nobody knows him as Sheev, though. I'm sorry. Yeah. This is one of those things I almost have to gonk you, as Tari already has.
No, I don't care about that. No,
nobody knows or remembers the fact that the Emperor's name is Sheev because it's a dumb name.
Says the company that came out with Baby Yoda. We should call that Grogu. Super normal name, that one. That rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Like, you say it like that, it sounds really gross.
Yeah.
There's 10 dudes in suits in a room that came up with that name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or it sounds like a frog.
Yeah.
See, that I could actually believe.
No.
Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. That's next week.
No, we could say it's sexy like Grogu.
Ew.
Yeah. See? Bad. Just bad. Already.
Yeah. It's better not awaken anything in me.
Thank you to the people in the chat, Predaganger and Adzgi and Karina and everyone else in there. Yes, it was birthday time last week, mainly for Pedo. It was her birthday. She's the primary focus. And to be completely honest, I haven't seen Pedo since her birthday, so I think she's still drinking.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why she's not here tonight. We tried text messaging, we tried calling her, we tried a whole bunch of stuff, but...
She's not on the Grogu. That's how you say grog in Japanese. The Grogu.
She found a pineapple on
and
the
and we're cancelled.
Yeah. she found a loose pineapple on the floor of the RSL and then she went, fuck it, I'm going to the star. Haven't seen it since.
Yep. We love you, Peter. Come back.
Yeah. So if anyone's seen Peter, like, you know,
we tried using that Find My iPhone, but it looks like it's in Mesopotamia somewhere. We're not sure.
In Mesopotamia.
Yeah.
It's a time travel.
The ancient
as well.
One. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what's exciting. Yeah. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about any of this shit tonight. We are about three
still
TV
not
shows.
Talking about that.
Tonight we are talking about For All Mankind. The most recent season of that.
Season 5.
Four old men.
Yeah, it really is four old men, isn't it? Now?
Yeah. Four old men in a colony.
We're talking about a couple of other things, but let's dive into For All Mankind, Season 5. Five All Mankind.
Five.
Yeah. And this time they're on Mars. They got their ass to Mars.
They were on Mars last season.
They were.
Yes, but I mean it's more Mars.
More Marsy. Yeah. We've had 10 years. They've Marsified it more.
They have settled now. They're very definitely. They're not just landing on Mars. They're now settling on Mars.
Yeah. They're mining on Mars.
Yes.
They're breeding on Mars.
Yeah. Mars. Very, very true, Predaganger. So where did we finish with the last season? Like, I mean, we got to Mars. How did we feel about season 4?
I thought the old people makeup was terrible in season 4, but it has strangely improved in season 5.
I feel like they were probably told. I feel like they were probably comprehensively told, if you're going to fucking do this, you're going to have to put some budget
into that. Ed in his 70s? No. Ed in his 80s? Yes.
Yeah, I would believe a little more of Ed his 80 whatever years, or is he 80 something, or is he
in his 80s? I think.
Yeah, right.
Who knows? Like, I mean, yeah, kudos to them for keeping these principles in there, going from the 60s to the 2010s. Now, isn't that where we are?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 2012. It's set in 2012.
Yeah, but that's part of the 2010s.
Oh, yes. Okay. True. Sorry, it's not a teen yet. Oh, my bad. I don't know. Like, I thought the last season still had a bunch of exciting stuff going on. I really liked Predaganger says, the asteroid heist like that whole thing of them deciding that they're going to, you know, steal the asteroid and that's going to be a whole thing. Yeah. I thought that was pretty fucking exciting. There was some cool shit there. What do we think about this season?
It's kind of plodding along. I feel like it's just trying to get to the final season that it's about to do, and then, yeah.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit... I've seen eight episodes. Yeah.
I think that's about where I'm up to.
Or nine, I don't know. But
For a show that I remember famously had a lot of tension and stress.
The earlier seasons were so exciting.
Yeah. Six episodes are out so far.
Yeah, I remember that. And this one I've been watching going, so where's the drama?
Yeah, honestly. Like, I miss season two where they made spacesuits out of duct tape and had to run out to the moon surface. Like, where is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, where's that drama? I mean,
even was it last season where we had the mining accident?
Yeah.
That killed a character? That was drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the drug addict kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Operating machinery and.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of that stuff and the tension between Mars and Earth and everything felt like there was some real stakes going on. And I'm going to say it, like, I've been really struggling with this season.
It's been a bit average until the most recent episode that I watched where they've introduced another character. And I'm like, why have you waited until episode 6?
To bring in
another character that could be somebody worth following and bringing a bit of interest.
Yeah, like I feel like they kind of introduced a few characters in season 4, like Toby Kebbell's character and stuff. And they were kind of going, okay, well, you're going to continue on with him. But then we haven't seen that much of him. Mm-hmm. And then it's about his kids. But to me, the biggest fucking problem I have with it is it doesn't feel like it's on Mars.
No. Like,
all I'm getting is a whole lot of Babylon 5 sets.
Everybody is just like going about their day so comfortable and I want to say like complacent. I feel like there's an air of complacency about these people. I'm like, do you guys forget you're living on a planet that cannot inhabit you? Mm. At any moment, something could go wrong and you will all die. And there's just, I don't feel any tension.
No, like they've gotten very comfortable. They're all wandering around these just boring ass gray sets. Like,
yes, yeah.
I mean, everything's just, you know, painted metal gray kind of, but flat panels. And I'm like, fuck, one of the things I loved about this stuff in the early seasons was that feeling of real space, you know, spaceships where, you know, because we've just seen Artemis and the crew doing their thing around their loop around the moon. We've seen how fucking cramped and uncomfortable and weird space travel is.
Mm-hmm.
And here it's like, it feels a little Deep Space 90, a little bit.
Yes.
You know,
yes, especially with like the tiered like caste system of people living on Mars.
Mm.
I don't know if anybody is familiar with Andy Weir's books besides having watched The Martian or Project Hail Mary, but he has another book called Artemis where there is a moon colony and it's exactly the same as this.
Okay.
So where you have like lower tiered people that are in like servant roles. That are like really keep like the system running, and then you have like the rich people that love to live on the moon, and the tourists that can afford to come to the moon. So it's kind of giving that where you've got like the president of Mars or whoever the fuck the Russian dude is, like in his high tower giving orders, and then you've got like the military police force that are kind of oppressing everybody else that are making their living on Mars.
Mm. And I think like I would be more down for that if it felt a little dirtier and a little bit more lived in. Like all of the cop uniforms feel a little too clean. Like,
people living on Mars seem very clean.
Yeah.
What is your bio waste situation like there. How are you showering?
How, like, why is there not fucking red dirt and dust and shit getting into everything? Why is there not something that feels lived in? Like, the sections that are kind of the down below where the craters are, like, people who traveled in crates, not craters in a moon.
Yeah.
like, yeah, they're meant to feel a little dirty and stuff like that. But even that, it just, yeah, I don't know. I want, like, I figure if you've got a president of Mars, maybe he should have some windows in his office. Like, no, so we can see that he's on Mars.
Windows cost money and you've got to animate that.
That's the thing. It just feels a bit fucking cheap. Which is stupid because I know it's not.
Also, I kind of miss the, like, I got the idea that, oh, there's a lovely, sorry, a little, I can hear a hum in my headset. Apologies for that one. If, like, I don't really, really know what's going on back in Earth, but it seems like at least the Earth one and the previous ones had a bit of drama about it and it was more expansive and you could do stuff. And in this one, it just kind of feels like, oh, yeah, Earth is, again, inside insets doing these decisions to a place that's inside insets doing decisions. And it just doesn't feel like there's a lot of life in it, which is so strange because the first four seasons felt like there was this huge dynamic between what's happening on Earth affects what's happening in space, you know?
And now even the trip between Earth and Mars feels kind of whatever.
Yeah, it's like next scene. Oh, I've been on a plane for a month. So yeah, on a plane, a ship.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah.
And?
Oh, and I'm tired. Yeah, okay, yeah. You don't look like you just got off a month long space trek, but sure.
And like one of the plot points this season is that they're mounting a trip or an expedition to try and go to Titan, which is one of the moons of Saturn. No. Jupiter.
Saturn.
I'm just going to let you figure it out yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody will correct me.
I just did.
Thank you. thank you, correction monkey. but yeah, like to me, that's where we should be at.
That's where the action is, yes. I mean, like this is how this whole series kicked off. It was the space race between America and Russia and the Russians got there first, so now they're competing again to get to Titan first to try to discover life on another planet. So I want to see more of that and less of, like, the shitty political drama that's happening with the Helios team.
Like, you know, you've got Dev, whatever his name is, I can't remember the character's name, who's attempting to essentially build the line, that gigantic thing that they tried to build in Dubai, except on Mars. And, you know, that's not particularly exciting. And, yeah, you've got these people who are traveling on a 20-something-year-old ship that should have been mothballed, but, you know, they get that fixed and working off-screen. They take off off-screen, you know, and occasionally somebody just video calls in to go, hey, I'm on a ship on the way to Titan, and I'm like, you are following the wrong fucking plot points here, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. All in all, it just felt like a fairly boring season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel the drama.
No. I will say that there is one sequence that is probably the most exciting, and it's the one that I found a clip.
Oh, you want to go do it on watch clip?
I think so. Like, right. I would say I'm going to keep watching to see whatever happens
I'll
next.
Finish it, yeah.
We'll just do the clip.
Yeah.
Or do you want to rate it? Do you want to do the clip and see the
I
most?
I don't think we're rating.
See the most exciting thing that's happened for all mankind so far.
Here we go.
On them, but we're pushing red line.
Do not lose them.
Exceed red line if you have to. You've got MPK Air 2
inbound at 4 o'clock.
Are they trying for Korolev crater?
Korolev is north.
only thing out that way.
ISN compound, son of a...
Boyd, he can't reach that base. They don't have an extradition treaty with the M6.
We'll call.
Yes, there you go. The very, very, very exciting.
Not exactly Fast and the Furious, is it?
No. It looked an octogenarian chase.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that it's this whole thing of, like, you know, you've been on Mars for 10 years now or more, and the coolest thing that you could come up with was exactly the same lander, but the good guys are in white and the bad guys are in black.
Stupid.
Why didn't the police ones have, like, a little fucking flashing light?
Siren! Oh my god, I would have loved to have seen wee-wee chasing. That would have been so dark.
But a good point, too, that you made there, Jill, like, off, like, while we were watching that clip, is, like, yeah, they had a really exciting part where a guy was driving, like, riding a motorcycle across Mars and came across a dead body, and then they're all like, oh, well.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, one of the plot points of this season that is completely buried by all the other BS that's happening is there has been a homicide on Mars and someone is trying to solve it but not doing enough to actually solve it.
No.
We're not getting to see any of this except for, like, maybe one sequence per episode.
Yeah, because we're trying to, you know, give enough time to the son of this character. We're trying to give enough time to this other character who's just come back from Russia. We're trying to give enough time to Ed Baldwin dying and, oh, sorry, spoiler.
Spoiler.
Sorry about
come
that.
Come on, he should have died years ago. Let's be honest. He can't be 80 and flying around in space.
I don't know. Crazy. I reckon fucking, what's his name? Not Armstrong. Who's the Buzz Aldrin? He's still kicking, isn't he?
Unless you're
you want to shoot him off in space. Do you?
Yeah.
Unless you become the star child from 2001. There's no point keeping you in there.
Deep cut. Well done. Yeah.
Hey, no, it's right. Look, it's been renewed for a sixth and final season. Hopefully they're saving all the money for the sixth season to go out with a bang.
Yeah.
And maybe they will discover aliens.
Wouldn't that be cool? And then it turns into The Expanse.
Nah. Pick an alien out of all of the aliens that we know, and what alien do you want to see at the end of For All Mankind?
Oh, well, it'll be Donald Trump because we'll be going into the 2020s.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the orange alien. Let's see some revisionist history for the next season, please. I want to live in a fantasy world.
Yeah, actually, but maybe it turns out that there were lizard people all along and they were running society.
Nice. Yeah. Personally, I would like to see them land on Titan and then realize that that there is an alien species on Titan. And in fact, they've been there for a long time, since the 80s, and it's actually called, in its native tongue, Melmac.
I'm pretty sure Titan is completely made of ice.
It is.
I know, but that's where you get Alf.
Alf.
From Melmac.
Alf.
Yes. Maybe they will blow up Mars, and that's probably a good way for the series to end.
I used to have an Alf plush doll.
I loved Alf. Apparently, I don't know whether people remember this. Sorry to go completely off topic, but the ending of Alf is right up there with fucking the ending of Dinosaurs in terms of darkest bullshit endings to a TV show ever.
Or did they kill everybody?
Well, they do at the end of Dinosaurs, but...
the meteor hits, yeah.
Yeah, but no, at the end of Alf, like, the government catches him and takes him away.
Oh, it's totally E.T.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, in that very ambiguous way of, like, oh, well, so he's off to Area 51, and everyone's like, so they're just going to dissect him, right? Like, and they never correct it.
Yep, because they thought they were going to get another season, and they didn't.
Oops.
Oopsie.
Yeah.
Anyway, they've got another season of For All Mankind. It's been greenlit. So we'll see how that goes. But this season, very boring.
I'm hoping the next few episodes can pull it out of its funk, but it's not setting my world on fire.
Okay, which one next do you want to talk about? And by the way, if you're like in the chat and you're doing that, please let us know if you're watching it.
Yeah.
What are you thinking of it is? Or I just see a lot of conversations about, like, Expanse is a great show. It's like, yes, I know.
Yeah.
Probably watch that again.
Over season five. Something that feels grounded and dirty and, like, it has some kind of lived in this.
Yeah. Which one do you want to go? The Mighty Monarch or Dare to Devil?
Let's stay on Apple TV and Apple go with TV. Monarch.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just move across one little tab.
What's the Monarch?
Do you hear that?
This is not Kong.
And it's not Godzilla. This is something bigger.
We opened the rift to another world. I did it. I pressed the button. I let the genie out of the bottle.
What's next?
I just destroyed the world.
Consequences.
I'm living here.
This titan.
I'm living here.
Is like a god. And the sea creatures worship it.
Hundreds of thousands are in the path of this monster. And we don't know what it wants.
Go, go, go!
I'm gonna find a way to set things right. I promise. To destroy a monster. Takes another monster. We need Kong and Godzilla. What if they make the situation worse? You're trying to play God. No man should play God.
I lost people I loved. Don't make the same mistake I did.
In the end, only one thing matters. Who wins?
I am actually quite excited by the amount of money that they've been throwing at this thing.
Holy shit, there is some money on the screen.
This doesn't feel like television. Does it to you? Because, I mean, it feels like the movies that they've been doing.
Yes.
Because, I mean, they did Kong Skull Island, and that started all of these things with Godzilla and all this other stuff, and they're sort of tying them all together. And I've been watching it going, this feels very much like just long, long episodes, like movie episodes.
Yeah.
And, all tied together.
I mean, it's interesting because it does have that thing of like, okay, we're waiting. It sort of feels like every episode we're waiting for the big monster to show up.
Yeah.
And you know, there is that challenge of like, how do you do a show set in the world where Godzilla and Kong potentially are wandering around and could, you know, walk into the back of any scene.
Mm.
And not feel like you're constantly just waiting for Godzilla or Kong to show up.
Yeah, because it was a bit like that last season. Like, we got treated to a lot of big monsters towards the end of the previous season. And I guess we were a little bit spoiled because now we come back into season two and it's like, I want to see the monsters! I want to see the monsters! And they've been teasing us a bit.
No, yeah. But Jill, it's the human people that are the most interesting thing of this show, right?
I think we discussed this when we talked about season one, where we were like, fuck the people. I want to see the monsters.
Bring forth the like, giant fucking
creature. Wait, I think we've actually discovered that maybe some of the human stories are not bad.
Yeah, it is interesting because I was thinking about it today. And like the name of the show is Monarch Legacy of Monsters.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah,
the more I think Godzilla. About it, it's not called Godzilla the TV show.
Yeah.
But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that what the show is actually talking about for a lot of the time is the fact that the humans are doing kind of shit things, like, and the legacy of what those people are doing is causing all of these hassles. So the legacy of monsters is, you know, broken
we're
families.
We're the monsters, not the kind.
Exactly.
Of...
We're the monsters we killed along the way. yeah, and I was like, okay, I can kind of get on board with that. Like, because there are characters in the first one, the first season, that we barely had much to do with, mm-hmm. like Hiro. Like he was there, but he really wasn't sort of big until later in the season. And then in this one, you're like, you're kind of getting to know him more and you realize that he's really fucked up his life.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also not his fault. Like his mother went missing in the fucking Titanverse. And mm-hmm. then his stepfather was distant because he was trying to bring her back. And so he had a messed up upbringing.
Yeah. And that is the legacy of monsters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like we've got, you know, and I think they're digging into some more of the character's background now with, you know, Lee Shaw, mm-hmm. And his relationship with Keiko, I want to mm-hmm. say.
Yes.
Sorry, I couldn't remember if it was Keiko or Kate. Kate's the daughter.
Her granddaughter.
Granddaughter, sorry. Yes. I've been, you know, kind of doing a little more double screening this time.
Yeah.
You know, not perhaps as invested as I was first season.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a sequence where, and I'm trying to remember which episode it's in, one of the more recent ones, I think it was like episode 7, I think, mm-hmm. Where there's a sequence with Godzilla. Yeah. And it's like it's a Godzilla attack on a city. And I was like, oh, shit, okay, this is what I've been kind of waiting for. I was really excited about it because, you know, we're getting that whole thing of Titan scale destruction and stuff. And then it didn't go that long. And I was like, no, motherfucker.
I know.
But I think I'm enjoying it enough. I don't know. Where are you at?
Yeah. I'm about at the same level as, like, For All Mankind. I'm just, like, plodding through the weeks and kind of waiting for something cool to happen. Mm.
What do you mean? Monster fight?
Yeah, but...
You're just waiting for monster fight. That's all you're really there
I'm
for.
Waiting for monster fight at the moment. Right. Like, you know, being set up at the moment on Skull Island for Kong to have a great big knockout, drag-out brawl with a monster...
Mm, the Kraken or whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Phil.
And I'm worried about the Titan the sort of timeliney stuff. I'm still trying to figure out where does Godzilla versus Kong X and yeah. when does he get his monkey fist?
Yeah, his Tonka Trunk arm.
Yeah, where did that go? What are we talking about?
That hasn't happened yet because like and this is something I do feel like they need to perhaps time stamp things a little better because I think a lot of this stuff's happening in like 2018 or whatever. Yeah. We haven't caught up to 2026 or whenever the last movie was.
Okay.
But at least they're fixing that problem of Godzilla standing in 800 kilometers of ocean and just standing up.
Yeah. And yeah, like they're building to it. There's that whole thing with Apex Cybernetics, which is, you know, the thing that I'm pretty sure ends up either building Mechagodzilla or building the punchy punch, monkey punch.
Right. And we've got a new player that's rising up, out of the shadow of Apex that you'll find out about soon enough. But, what was I going to say? Oh, the one thing that's kind of been bothering me the most about this series is how Americanized it is. Mm. You have, like, a majority cast of Japanese players, and when they are having scenes with themselves with no English-speaking people, they're still speaking English.
Oh, really?
Which is so bizarre that they would not default to their native language.
I'm going to actually argue that because there's at least 3 or 4 episodes that I've seen where the Japanese speaking characters speak only in Japanese.
Oh, nope. That drops off.
Oh,
I
really?
I don't know if you're as far in as I am, but there are just scenes with Keiko and Kate by themselves, nobody else, and they're just speaking pure English to each other. Same with Kentaro and Kate. Like, yeah, having
Maybe.
scenes with other people where they're having a very intense conversation, and it's like, I think they would naturally default to Japanese to like block out other people in this scene.
Maybe
Yeah.
there was a backlash against season one, because that happened in season one quite a lot, which was like a lot of scenes in Japanese, and you're like, oh, that's okay. Maybe they're like, oh, it's not as accessible.
We don't want to read words on the screen. Just show us the monsters.
Because I did notice in the last episode I watched, there was the one before, like there's a Hiro Kentaro scene that was all in Japanese, and I was like,
Yes,
oh,
and
okay.
that made sense, but
Yeah.
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it is disappointing though, because like, come on, why would they not? But there are also some other, like, what I find interesting and amusing is I didn't realize how much of this show was shot in Australia until I started to see a lot of gum trees. Apparently
That could
the
have been
Titan,
California.
it could have been, but it's not. I know a couple of people who did a few days work on it, and I was like, oh shit, I didn't know that. But yeah, look, there are it occasionally has the same problem of like, okay, we're on a set again, you know, this time we're on the set that is a ship and
Yeah.
could be a set anywhere, doesn't really matter. Though I did quite like there's a set that they've built, which is like a whole little fishing village that's meant to be in somewhere.
Yeah, South America somewhere.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, actually, they built a whole fucking village there.
Yeah.
Like, they put a bit of effort into it. And that's obviously, you know, where that Apple money cat goes. But yeah, I will finish it,
Oh,
absolutely.
yeah, definitely.
And I'm on board for any time one of the big guys shows up. Like, you know, there was a bit early in one of the shows where, you know, they wander past Kong, and I'm like, fuck yeah, Kong. Love that guy.
But
There
you
is an interesting episode, and it's actually probably the most invested I've been in one of the episodes, which is not something I would have expected, where two characters from different time periods talk to each other.
Yeah.
And for a whole episode, like there was fuck all in the way of monsters at all, but I was actually legitimately invested in what was happening on that screen. I didn't double screen for that one.
It was pretty cool.
So I think that kind of stuff makes me go, oh, yeah, that's cool. What I am still excited to see is how Billy Rander turns into the guy in Kong Skull Island.
Yeah. John, what's his name?
John Goodman.
John Goodman, yeah.
Like, there's clearly some serious shit that happens in the 2 years or something like that between the last episode we see of him and when he dies in Skull Island.
Yeah.
I mean, it must just keep people fucking aneurysms when they're like, okay, so we have established facts,
Yeah.
and now we have these other things. Oh, Christ. How do we
Yeah.
make this work?
And we've got a time dilation-y thing here. So these characters can be alive in this time period, but if they come out of that time period back then they have to have aged. But how old is that guy now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very
Well,
confusing.
shall we have a look at the clip for that you're talking about there for Monarch? Yeah, all right. Well, this is what you want. You want monkey fight. Well, actually, it's not technically monkey fight. I'm doing it again. Yeah, there we go. Okay, we're back now. Well, the clip finished too quickly. I know what you're talking
Oh
about.
no.
But this is what happens when, you know, you're caught in between two monsters fighting.
Yeah. Yeah,
Unlike Jurassic World, which seems to be talking about two monsters fucking. Yeah, at least this one's sticking to the originals.
Monkey fight, monkey punch lizard, lizard punch monkey.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta say, it's fucking impressive, no matter what way you look at it, to see like cinema quality special effects work of giant fucking lizard, giant fucking monkey on a weekly TV show. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Kraken.
Yeah.
The Kraken, I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, he's glowing. I'm getting real Pacific Rim vibes from him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Quinny, they've already done all the big ones, all the well-known ones, and now they've just got the shit ones left. You're like, oh, we need a giant monster. What does that look like? Oh, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, I must admit, like, I do feel like I'm missing a few of the big Ghidorahs or...
Yeah, I mean, they could go to classic Toho and...
Yeah,
without someone from the archive, like
there's
could,
a
could
lot.
They, could they? Could they, though, Jill?
Maybe they're just holding him off for the next film. Like,
does Toho have any say in this series? Are they a collaborator on this show?
I don't know.
Wow. Yeah, I would assume now, they'd have to now we're posing license questions. Stuff.
Like, because I still want to see them do Biollante.
Oh no, it's like, a joint enterprise.
Okay.
Toho's
okay,
in there.
Right. Yeah. So Biollante is like the big fighting plant monster.
Oh.
You know, yeah, giant fucking like flower monster.
Did you watch last week's episode?
I'm like one or two behind.
Okay, maybe watch last week's episode.
Oh no.
Oh no. Okay. Is there a favorite monster that you want to see show up?
Yeah, like there was some yes, Audrey Senior.
Jesus.
Suddenly see.
What's the tortoise one?
Oh,
Gamera.
I would like to see them go fucking all out and choose the really weird North Korean one.
Oh,
there's a North Korean monster.
Yeah.
Kim Jong Il.
And his special attack is just tube of grease.
There is a essentially a North Korean kaiju that they created because they saw all of these other kaiju stories,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, we have to have one for North Korea. We must have a proper one for, yeah. So it is called Pulgasari.
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 Pulgasari. I will. Okay. Yeah.
I'm like, who's Pulgasari when he's at home?
Oh,
it's just Godzilla with bullhorns.
Yeah. Oh. But he's pretty cool.
Is he like, though?
Yeah, 3,000%. Yeah. Look at him. He's got big bullhorns. Anyone He's who's got listening
remarkably,
to this,
human eyes, which is weird.
Oh no.
Yeah. Anyone who's watching this, I think you all need to pause this, go and find yourself a computer and Google Pulgasari. And now you will know why I'm so excited to see him show up and have a really brief and probably embarrassing fight with Godzilla. What I really want to know is how does this all fit in with Godzilla minus one or Godzilla minus zero?
It doesn't.
Aww.
That's all like World War II era. So this is past all of that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that'd be kind of cool. Like if they could somehow tie it all together, they're never going to be able to because that's not how this works. Different Godzilla, different size, different scale.
Yeah, like Godzilla in minus zero was like puppy.
Yeah,
and now in minus one. No way, it was minus one before. Now it's minus zero, and now he's bigger.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that.
He's grown up, and he's gonna destroy New York. Yay!
Yeah. I did have that thing when we're fucking devolving here, something fierce. when that trailer first dropped and the first language I heard was English, I was like, what?
Yes.
No, 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 it must be all, you know, Japanese. It must be somebody go, gotcha! You know, but, you know, okay, I'm open to new experiences. I mean, I'm your Karina is Team Godzilla all the way. Fair enough.
Yeah. I saw a great video of someone doing a deep dive on how Toho got revenge on the Americans for their 1998 Godzilla. And I'm like, don't you dare, Japan. I love 98 Godzilla. It's shit, but it's great.
Is this Godzilla Final Wars?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah.
I love that film.
So I want to see come out of what is it? Something, what is it? Mundi?
Oh, Axis Mundi.
Axis Mundi. I want to see 98 American Godzilla come out and get thrashed by this Godzilla.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that will happen in Godzilla Kong Supernova, which is coming out next year.
I'll
After,
cross my fingers.
yes. Shooting is
Okay.
finished last year
Oh,
on the
wow.
Gold Coast.
So lots of interesting. They're shooting. So that's interesting that they're shooting this in Australia and shooting that in Australia at the same sort of time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it does kind of indicate to you that they're all working together. Like they've got their Marvel expanded universe going on, but for monsters.
Also, it has Sam Neill in it, so I'm hoping this is just a low-key crossover. How do you get them into Jurassic Park? But also, there was discussions with trying to get Guillermo del Toro to have a crossover with Pacific Rim as well, and just start mashing everything together. What is this world where we just put all of our culture, like all of our touchstones, into a potato masher and just see what pops out?
Ready Player One.
Is that sequel
But
still
I'm not gonna
going?
lie,
Is Ready Player 2 ever coming out, do you think?
probably not. I mean,
Yeah,
the
right.
book was not as popular as the first book. I don't think I've even bothered to read it.
Besides, they should just do an adaptation of Dungeon Crawler Carl and leave it be.
See, Dion's saying this, but I know the fact of the matter is that Dion has now got his back up about it so hard that he will never read or listen to Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Nah, too popular. I'm a counterculture kid.
Yeah.
I don't like any of the thing that popular people like. You know,
Yep.
it's too
Yep.
mainstream, like Star Wars, too mainstream.
Yeah. I got to tell you though, I would actually pay pretty good money to see a Jaeger go toe to toe with
With Godzilla.
Godzilla or Kong.
Or Kong,
I would pay big fucking money,
Oh,
like
they
to
could.
go
I would pay
on.
to see them get their asses handed to them by
Yeah,
Kong, obviously.
I would watch Kong fucking rip Jaeger arms off left, right, and center.
I think they should go.
Strike a Eureka, you're fucked, mate.
They should. That is actually Striker Eureka's battle charge, isn't it? You're fucked,
You're
mate.
fucked, mate.
Oi, cunt!
Yeah,
Wanna fucking go?
prepare, oi, cunt. They shouldn't be cowards. They should actually kill Godzilla and then replace him with a drift compatible couple of the
Godzilla is
cast.
Batman. You can't kill
Oh,
him.
not Godzilla, sorry, Kong. They should decapitate Kong and then put a Jaeger head on Kong. And that's the slowly turn him into like Mecha King Kong, Mecha Kong.
Damn.
Oh my
That's how that
God.
goes.
See, this is why people join in with our podcast. It's
This
not for the reviews or anything. It's just for
is
the
the
random shit that we
speculation.
go, wouldn't it be better if they
Random
did this?
speculation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember all those shower thoughts you have? We say them out loud.
What
But still
if?
don't get paid.
You got paid?
Now,
Amazing.
speaking of a shower thought, let's have a look at the Daredevil.
Some folks like to get away, take a holiday from the neighborhood.
I'll have
Hop a flight to
one banana milkshake.
Or to Hollywood. But I'm taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line.
Let's go.
Comes down to reality. It's fine with me, cause I bet it's like I'm in a New York state of mind.
Showed up at my house with my daughter there.
You hurt?
I'm pissed.
Holy shit. It's Matt Murdock.
But it's gonna be a bloodbath.
then this should be tons of fun.
Daredevil Born Again Season 2, now streaming.
Of course it's streaming. We're back. We're back for Daredevil Season 2, which is the, what season technically is it now? Season 6?
5?
5?
Yeah.
Were there season four seasons of the of Daredevil?
No, three.
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 This is Season 2.
Oh, okay, right. Thank you.
Born Again.
Are we also counting Defenders?
No. It's a separate show.
Okay, fine.
No, I love that. Jill's like, no. We're not counting.
I'll tell you what, Karina just brought up a point that I agree with, that at the end of episode 6, I thought that was the end.
Mm.
Because I watched this episode and it was all very exciting and I'm like, oh, can't wait to see next week. Holy shit. And then I get a clip that says, season 3 of Born Again has been, I don't know, like they've like greenlit a season 3 and they announced it at the end of episode 6. I'm like, wait, was that the finale? What the fuck? I've got to wait a year to see what happens?
Holy shit.
So no, I thought it was over, but we've actually got 2 more episodes.
Good. Because I got to the end of that episode, but I don't think that popped up for me. Also, I was watching it very late at night and I now have to go back and rewatch the most recent episode because I realized I'd drifted in and out of being awake enough, which is impressive considering like I'm still enjoying the fuck out of this show. Like
I'm enjoying this season more than season 1.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's definitely settled into a tone.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt a big disconnect in season 1 of Born Again from the Netflix show. Even though it's the same creative team, it just felt Disney-fied to me. But this is kind of, yes, settled back in, like the whatever air about it had in season 1 has gone for me.
Well, they're getting the gang back together of the Defenders.
Yeah.
Well, but they've also kind of leaned back into that mystery and subterfuge stuff that they were really good at in the Netflix show. So the drama is a bit more interesting for me now.
Well, also, like, from a production standpoint, like, this season is, like, the first season, it was half made as a different show. Like,
right. Okay.
They'd, you know, shot a fairly sizable chunk of the season and then gone, hang on, this is not working. This is not good. Mm. So then they went back, they brought in Vanessa, they brought in Foggy, they did, like, a whole bunch of stuff with Karen Page and everything. Like they kind of tied it in, but then you still get weird episodes like the one in the bank that, you know, was not great.
And that weird villain was a lot more episodic. The weird muse villain that never really gelled. You're like, why is this person? What? Why is this important?
And that's the thing. That first season was still a kind of half and half. And it was a hodgepodge of shit that was put together and, like, things that were added from the start that moved to the end and all sorts of stuff. So this one is the first season that they've actually been able to just go from the right formula, basically.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's making a lot of sense.
Yeah. There are some great characters. Now. Like there's characters that I, you know, you love to hate. And then there's other characters that I'm like, Tony Soprano's son,
Daniel,
I can't. Yeah. Yeah.
The intern that's making his way.
JD Vance.
yes.
Like
pre or post couch fucking JD Vance.
Middle.
I don't know. He may be the couch.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's in his couch fucking prime.
But I'm enjoying him. Like I find him so uncomfortable, but I like that.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. What did we think of the episode with Jessica?
I was excited to see Jessica back.
Me too.
Honestly.
I felt a little bit like, I want more.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So I hope we get her for the rest of the season as well. And then I think Frank is coming back for an episode, because then they're doing like a Punisher special or something when this show wraps up.
Mm-hmm. So the Punisher hour-long special in May, I'm pretty sure, end of May.
Yeah, I think it's like the week after the finale, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that will then kind of dovetail pretty nicely straight into Spider-Man film, which I mean, I'm all for this. I love it when, you know, if they're really good, they know how to fucking, you know, line up their shit.
Well, I think we're getting back to that good old Marvel days where they were better at crossing their streams.
That's Ghostbusters.
Like, they were really good at the crossovers like 10 years ago, where, you know, you'd get a bit of a feed in this TV series that would lead into this movie, and their cross promotion was a lot smoother.
Yeah. I mean, I was, it's funny because the series that probably did that the best was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And that's the one that...
That's what it was designed for, yeah.
Yeah, but it's also the one that they still haven't really kind of admitted is anything like canon. Yeah.
No, they retconned it.
Did they? It's
bizarre, yeah.
Oh, God. Because, yeah, like, and that to me was the one that felt most like they were actually trying to dovetail really nicely with the films. So,
yeah,
who the fuck knows?
But in this one, it's more about the characters and the little place that is Hell's Kitchen and New York City and those things, which I do kind of like. And it is also about Matt Murdock, who just beats people up, just beats the piss out of people.
Yeah,
and I enjoy that. Yeah, some of the stunts in it are quite amazing, though. I think they're going quite hard at that, and it's interesting watching it trying to create the narrative around it. When you're watching, it's like, no, I just want to see Daredevil kick the shit out of people.
Yeah, but besides getting like cool Daredevil sequences, we get a really nice Bullseye sequence in this season. Like anything that's just like a single camera shot kind of action scene, that's what this show is really good at doing.
Yeah, yeah. That was, to me, like for the Netflix stuff, that Bullseye was the thing that didn't work as well as I, you know, I didn't love him in the Netflix show.
Okay.
I didn't see enough of what I think of as Bullseye. Sure. Whereas this, it's like, okay, now we've really hit our stride.
Mm.
Now we're putting him in blue. We're giving him a bit of a costume, but also we're giving him a bit more of the manic persona kind of stuff. He's not Irish. He's not flicking peanuts into old ladies' mouths, but...
But I kind of enjoyed seeing a very complicated character in the Netflix show, and, like, somebody with, you know, poor mental health and being taken advantage of, and how does that change this guy's personality? What does that turn him into?
Is he a victim?
Yeah, exactly. And now we've got kind of a continuation of that, where he's got this perverted sense of justice and like what he's trying to, I guess, convince people that he's atoning for what he's done by just committing more violence. So, but what does that look like? And
When you're a murderer, the only way is more murder.
Yeah.
You can't murder your way through to success.
Yeah. Gotta solve my problems by murdering more people.
I'm also kind of keen to see what happens with the young White Tiger. Like that was, you know, in season one, that was a fairly big plot point. And I'm like, okay, right. Let's give her, you know, her chance to expand into that role and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we need somebody to speak for the people of New York. Cause that's a character in this show, is the people that are being oppressed. They're mirroring quite a lot of what's happening in America right now with immigration and corruption and capitalism. So, yeah.
I still think it's ballsy how, like, I remember getting to the end of the last season and being like, fucking hell. Like, you know, it felt like Fisk was just a straight-up Trump, you know, like, analog. Yeah. And this season, there's a lot of that, but also now, like, you've got the cops who are very obviously ICE. Yeah. And there's a lot of that kind of wish fulfillment stuff there of, yeah, wouldn't it be awesome to go into an ICE facility, beat the shit out of everybody, release all the people. And yeah, like it plays differently. That's for sure.
Yeah. Like, it's got a little bit more, like, as you said, it feels a bit more rounded. It feels like they're creating a narrative that they're following along that has a point. So happy, and spoilers for that, is like, so happy Vanessa's gone now.
Big spoiler.
She's gone. Come on. Someone had to go.
Vanessa!
Yeah. Now you've just got Wilson Fisk's rage. Yeah.
Actually, there were some fucking beautiful shots in one of the most recent episodes. I love the look of it. I love it when they kind of really lean in on the comic book history of Daredevil. And there's a couple of shots in the latest episode, I think it was the latest one, that are straight from Alex Malev. There's one where, like, the shadow of Daredevil falls over Fisk's face. And then there's another one where he knees him in the face, something fierce. And they are ripped straight out of a panel. And it's like, nice. Fucking sick.
They were very good shots.
Yeah. Yeah. They were like, hey, who's a really good Daredevil artist? All right, Alex Malev. Okay, right. Fucking do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I saw there's a few hints of Quesada in there as well. When you've got like the Billy Club cord that flicks around like in ways that it would never work.
Yeah.
I love watching the Billy Club. The Billy Club's one of the greatest things ever. Doing interesting things with stunts, which is good. Because it's hard to be new and fresh every time when it's just like beat someone up.
Yeah. Look at Arrow.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the first couple of years of Arrow, that was really good. They would like, you know, the fights were really exciting. And, you know, by the end of it, it's just like, okay, yep, people doing capoeira. Like, same people, same very low stance. Yep. That's very clearly not Stephen Amell inside that suit. Yep. Cool.
But the latest Jessica Jones episode was great because you get to see Matt work with someone else and their fighting styles are so different.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's fun to see, you know, something a bit different. Because, I mean, even Bullseye's fighting is very choreographed and artistic, but when you put Jessica in there, she's just a Mack truck.
Yep. I love that about her. I love that, like, there is no subtlety. It's just like, I walk through a wall, I pick up a heavy thing, I throw it at you, I kick you through a wall.
Yeah.
You've got to remember that, you know, Daredevil doesn't really have any powers. He's just got heightened senses.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah.
He's, and I do love that. I love that he still feels very human. I love that he can be kicked the shit out of. Mm. You know, like, there is always a distinct possibility.
The black beaten off him in the latest episode.
I actually really love that design choice. Like, start with a, you know, this is my black ninja suit. And now I'm just going to have.
But it's just paint.
Yeah. It's just shitty paint that's coming off after every fight.
Yeah. It's a good, it's a fun trip.
Yeah.
Watching him come out again, born again. Oh,
yeah, subtle.
They are doing a third season, though.
They are, and I will.
Thanks, Disney, for telling me at the end of episode 6 making me think that was the finale. And I was like, shit, we're gonna leave it there. Like, fuck.
No, there have been a lot of stuff. If you are excited for the next season and don't want to know stuff, avoid the internet because there's been a lot of shit. There's been a lot of leaked stuff from the set and actors who have accidentally leaked photos of themselves and all sorts of stuff. Okay. So yeah, like if you're wanting to go in completely unspoiled, avoid the internet. Do not look at anything to do with Daredevil because it's fucking everywhere.
Did you hear that, iPhone? Don't show me anything.
Yeah,
it's also actually canonically part of Phase 6.
Oh, okay.
So it is part of the Doomsday phase.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's part of
Here
Doomsday
I am
Secret
saying,
Wars.
Oh, does that great thing of like bringing the worlds together, and then you mentioned that, and I'm like, I don't want the worlds to come together anymore.
No, I want them more apart.
I don't know what Daredevil is going to do when it comes to Secret Wars, for example.
Yes. Be a lawyer.
Because what we really need is Robert Downey Jr. back in a different role completely.
It's a multiverse.
Mm-hmm. Multiverse.
Lilo Dallas multiverse. Exactly. I'm excited to see, like, I have a feeling that this is all going to build into the next Spider-Man film. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm pretty sure that we're going likely. There. Yes. I mean, there's like, we've seen the trailer. We know that the Hand is in it. We know that Frank is in it. You know, I think it'd be very odd if you know, there wasn't a little bit more Daredevil in there somewhere.
Mm.
But who knows?
It's New York.
Exactly.
It's New York.
One of those things that you do kind of think, in a show like this, wouldn't it maybe make sense that there was a, you know, like a Spider-Man swinging around in the background somewhere or, mm-hmm. you know, interacting? Yeah. But, you know. But then again,
if Spider-Man's getting shot at by the Punisher.
Yeah.
That's what you need. You just need that one. Canonic event.
Did you see the trailer?
Yeah, but you know, like, I know what you're talking about, but.
Okay.
Like, I was in the background of Daredevil while he's doing something. Okay. I want to see Punisher shooting at Spider-Man. And you're like, oh, ooh.
It's a moment. It's a recover. Yeah. I mean, yes, and that Spider-Man movie did have the Matt Murdock cameo, which made my cinema fucking melt down when it happened.
I know, but it's starting to get... I mean, I try to get excited about these things, but also after a while, I'm kind of like, oh, they reference something that we won't see again for 3 years. Okay.
Mm.
Make me care less.
Well, you know, who knows? We got X-Men. Like, this is the thing. I do feel like that next movie has a lot of hard work to do.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's a lot going on in there. There's X-Men, there's there's Doom, there's Fantastic Four, there's all sorts of shit in there.
They're trying to tie up the loose Kang ends.
Yeah.
You have all that shit. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Welcome to that.
Interesting. I saw an interview recently with, off topic. I saw an interview with Feige the other day, and, that whole thing of shuffling out the Kang storyline happened a lot earlier than people thought.
Oh.
So everyone's sort of going, oh, that must have been when Jonathan Majors, got into trouble for all of that stuff.
Mm.
By the sounds of it, they had kind of already talked to Downey Jr. before that had happened to do the Doom thing. And, my guess is, they were probably going to go for that as a build. But then the whole Kang thing, because essentially when Quantumania happened and didn't happen, I think they kind of went, I think we're going to have to fucking pivot real hard away from this.
But, you know, they've got like, you know, they can say whatever they want.
True.
Whatever's true was not.
Well,
they
fired 1,000 people. They've got AI writing their bullshit now.
Yeah. Thanks, Disney.
That part sucks. Well done, Disney.
Speaking of shitty things that happen to people, what are we doing next month?
Crikey!
I know. Look, it's getting. It's getting.
We're talking more.
It's getting late. We can't keep doing this for years and years.
True.
We're doing more. You're right,
we are doing more.
And then we might be doing something combat related.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, if we can go and see the film, like, we'll probably maybe do Mortal Kombat 2. If we can't see the film, we'll probably review Immortal Kombat with a C.
Which we discovered just before the show started. It was like, oh, look, a knockoff.
Yeah. Yeah. And the best thing is it looks like it's the exact same plot of an ad that I made recently. I'm very excited about.
Yes, we've got those things. It's a big month coming up.
Support MK2. A lot of Aussies worked on that film.
Mm, yeah, a lot of Aussies. In fact,
someone I personally know worked on costumes.
Nice. One of my very, very good friends is one of the visual effects editors.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. He called me up the other day and he's like, yeah, it's fucking great. And I was like, don't tell me. He's like, no, it's just really good.
Yeah. I want to see fucking Kano.
Fucking Kano.
Fucking Kano.
I love the idea that in some version of it, his name is actually John Kane or something like that. And everybody's yeah, calls, everyone him, calls Kano. Him
Kano.
That, I'm sorry, that's now canon to me. That's yeah. Mortal Kombat canon.
I love it.
Of course,
I don't give a fuck that he's a member of the Black Dragon or whatever, anything like that.
A few bevvies with Kano after work.
He better come from Blacktown.
So they're the Blacktown Dragons.
Yep, that's it.
We're building a whole history here and I'm on board for it.
Maybe he's from Cool and Ghetto. Maybe. No idea.
Well, we'll be telling you all about that and we'll work out what we're doing for the other weeks of May because we've got 1 week, 2 weeks. I'm assuming there's 4 weeks.
It's going to be May.
Oh, we usually do. Well, we don't usually, but last year we did anime.
Anime.
Anime, fuck.
Maybe I'll find an anime thing to talk about.
That's a good idea.
Maybe we could do one episode of anime.
Or fight in May.
Everybody pick an anime and we'll come talk about it.
I like this idea. Let's do that. Yeah. Oh, and Karina's saying, surely we've got to chuck Devil Wears Prada 2 in there.
Yeah, if I get around to watching it.
Mm. Yeah.
I believe there was a screening for it tonight.
What about that won't be in May.
What's that?
The Practical Magic 2.
Oh goodness.
It's out soon.
I mean,
I'm okay.
Nicole's using her powers to stay young.
just sucking the energy out of younger actresses.
Yeah.
Ow. What are you talking there? You want to get sued?
If Nicole Kidman listens to this podcast, hi, niggas, how you doing?
I'm really looking forward to your remake of BMX Bandits.
Yeah.
As I said, just put Nicole Kidman back in it and change nothing else and not even mention that she's older.
Mm.
That's it. Just put a strap back in and be like, doing
playing it. Playing a teenager again.
Yeah.
Although trying to find a water park in Sydney will be pretty hard these days.
There's the one out of Western Sydney.
Yeah, but I mean that's too far. It. Like when you look go back to BMX Bandits, it's kind of like it's not even that far out. In inner city.
If you're desperate, I'm sure that we could just ride around Darling Harbour and some of the fucking water park stuff there.
Sure.
Oh my god.
Build one.
Well, if you've got suggestions for what else we should be doing for May, whether it be animes or whatever, please let us know. Drop us a line on the Fat Che Bouquet or the Instagram or whatever.
Yep.
But thank you so much for joining us. Yeah. We hope you had a good time. It's a tough one when there are three things that we want to talk about and at least two of them are like, yeah, it's okay. Looks all right.
I just feel like
we watched it, so you don't have to.
They're just marking the time, like you know, we're just getting through For All Mankind to get to the last season to finish off the story. We're sort of watching Monarch Legacy of Monsters because we just want to see big monkey punch stuff.
Yep.
And then we've got Daredevil, which is just like, is this? Yeah, kind of.
I don't know. I'm not marking time with Daredevil. Daredevil is appointment TV for me.
Sure. I mean, your other options are what? The new season of Scrubs or the new season of Malcolm in the Middle?
Oh, I actually am kind of curious about watching that.
I've watched both of them and I have to say, oh.
I've
heard good things about Scrubs, but you know. One thing I did want to mention this week, speaking of things I watched so you didn't have to, I watched some of the Stranger Things animated series.
Oh.
How did that go?
I mean, I want to shout out to the Australian production company that's making it, Flying Bark. Like, they make beautiful animation. I just don't think this one necessarily needs to exist.
Right, the story is perhaps not great, but the animation's fantastic.
Animation is beautiful. Like, the design work and everything is gorgeous, but,
We can talk about that next week because we're talking about animation.
That is true.
About
that
how beautiful very, some very of the true. Animation is.
Well, there you go. You can go and watch it now, and then you can talk about it when we come back next week.
Excellent.
Okay. We'll talk about more.
Thanks, Quinny. Thanks, Jill.
Thank you, Dion.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter, wherever she is. If anyone sees Peter, just let us know.
If you've been to Mesopotamia, let us know.
Yeah. Or if she's still at the casino, just tell her to contact us.
Yeah.
That's
tell
all.
Her to cash out and come home.
Yeah, take a cash out and come home. Come on, everyone.
We miss you, Pete.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Was a good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table podcast. If you have comments, feedback, or suggestion, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, Threads, YouTube, and Facebook links, as you can join in the show live on Twitch, usually on Tuesday nights, but sometimes at Moves. Until next time, stay awesome.